In the first reading today, St. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, tells them that he passed on to them what is of the greatest importance. And before we speak of that, we have to look back then at what St. Paul had told them at the beginning of this letter. He told them that when he came to Corinth, he decided that he would speak of nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The reason for that is that before he came to Corinth, he had been in Athens. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we read the homily that he preached in Athens. And it was rather mellifluous on one hand, and on the other hand, he never spoke about Jesus. And he decided at that point, and that's exactly what he's telling the Corinthians, after that he realized he can't be doing all kinds of cute stuff. He just needs to preach the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ crucified. And so now he tells them, look, I remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, that Jesus died, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. That's what it's all about. It is the fact that God became man in Jesus Christ. He went to the cross for us and died for us so that our sins could be forgiven and so that heaven could be opened so that we could have eternal life. The problem is that we have heard that so many times that it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other, and we shrug it off as though this is no big deal. When St. Paul is talking to the Corinthians, he's saying, look, somebody rose from the dead. This is a huge deal. No one else has ever done that. But for us, it's like, oh yeah, Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, so what? It's the biggest deal in the world. So we have to be very careful that we don't just start taking things for granted, or worse yet, that we start to actually despise, because we've heard it so much that we begin to despise the truth. So that's what we have to be very careful of. In fact, it's maybe even at the point in our society where we need to start really praying to our Lord that he will do for people in our society, and maybe even for our own selves, what we hear that he just did in the gospel. He made the deaf to hear. We might have perfect hearing, but in our society, people don't want the truth. We become deaf to the truth. We want to be told whatever it is we want to hear, and we don't want the truth. Worse yet, we bought into relativism where everybody can have their own truth. You can have your truth, I can have my truth. It might be true for you, but it's not for me. No. Something's either true or it's false. It's right or it's wrong. It can't be true for you and false for me. So when we're talking about objective truth, which of course is what we've rejected in our society, it's true for everyone. But our society has rejected the Lord. And so again, how important this point that St. Paul is making to us. What a blessing, just as we can look back and say that when Thomas was not present when Jesus appeared to his apostles on Easter night, his lack of faith, I will not believe until I've touched the nail marks and so on. And when he sees Jesus then the next Sunday, he can get down on his knees and say, my Lord and my God. And in a way, as Pope Leo, either he or Pope Gregory said, that Thomas's doubting has done more for our faith than the faith of the other 11 apostles. Maybe it's the same thing with St. Paul. Maybe it was precisely what he did in Athens, recognizing that he did not speak the name of Jesus, that he gave this nice little talk, but never told them what he was really talking about. Now, he never got to the point of Jesus. Remember, he talked about someone who had risen from the dead, and they laughed at him and said, ah, maybe we'll hear you about this on another day, but they cut him off. So maybe that's what's so important to us, to recognize that what is of the greatest importance in the universe what is of the greatest importance is Jesus Christ. That said, now each one of us needs to ask ourselves, is Jesus of greatest importance in my life? If this is the greatest of greatest importance, this is the number one thing in the universe, then it better be in our lives. Because by comparison to the universe, we're pretty puny. And if this is the greatest thing in the universe, then it needs to be the greatest in our lives. Jesus is not politically correct. Praise God. Because once again, what that means is that we have to make a choice to stand for the truth. And in standing for the truth, that means we also have to make a choice that we are willing to suffer for that truth. We are willing to be persecuted for that truth. So again, each one of us needs to ask ourselves, am I? Do I really want the truth? Am I willing to suffer for that truth? Am I willing to be persecuted for that truth? Look what's going on in society. It has arrived. I've been telling people for a long time, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Well, it's here. And we're all going to have to make some pretty big choices. And what's really sad to me is watching all the people making politically correct choices. Well, I gotta fit in. What if I lose my job? What if my family won't talk to me anymore? What if they won't let me see my grandchildren? What's more important to you? The truth? Or the selfishness? Our society is the most selfish society in the history of the world, so that's where most of us are going to be drawn. Jesus is pure love. Love is the opposite of selfishness. But remember the question that he asked. When the Son of Man returns, do you think he will find any faith on earth? Obviously, it's going to be tried rather severely. And we have finally arrived at the point where it's beginning. We're not anywhere near the end yet. It's just beginning. And look at the people falling. I mean, they're falling like the leaves in the fall. How sad. So we need to look at this and ask the question again, what really is most important in my life? If you're a normal American, it's money and it's materialism and it's pleasure. Maybe not in that order. If you're a true Christian, it's Jesus Christ. So you again ask yourself, is Jesus truly number one in my life? Is he what is most important in my life? Because that's what it's all going to come down to. If I am most important in my own life, I'm going to go with whatever's convenient for me. I'm going to go with whatever's going to bring the greatest ease, whatever's going to bring the greatest pleasure, whatever's going to help me to fit in, whatever's going to help me to get ahead. That's not what Christian people have done throughout history. When I read St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, I marvel when he says that some of you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your goods. I think back and I think, man, how many American people do I know who would rejoice because the government came in and took their stuff? Oh my goodness, we would be having a fit. We wouldn't be rejoicing because we're being persecuted. We'd say, poor me, why are they doing this to me? Now we need to get our attitude turned around and we need to get it focused on Jesus. And we need to go through things with Jesus. Again, look at his own attitude toward his passion. When he told us that when we're persecuted, we need to rejoice and be glad, it's what he did. So he's not asking us to do something that he didn't do, but rather he's asking us to go through this with him. But it's only possible if he is of first importance in our lives. And it has to be real. It can't just be something in our head. Oh, yeah, I'm Catholic. Yeah, that's what's most important. Yeah, that's right. No. It needs to be in the heart. You're not going to be willing to suffer for somebody you do not love. You're not going to be willing to suffer for an idea. You're not going to be willing to suffer for a concept. But you will be willing to suffer for somebody you love. So again, is Jesus number one in your heart? Not in your mind. Needs to be there first, obviously, but it needs to get to the heart. Is he there? Do we just go through the motions? Come to Mass on Sunday, go through the motions, go home and live like a bunch of pagans the rest of the week? Or are we really, truly living the faith? Are we truly serving the Lord? One of the things that I have marveled at over the years, but more and more every day, I marvel at the Satanists who serve their Lord. They are so dedicated to Satan. They will serve him, they will die for him, they will do anything for him. That's for the vile, disgusting, despicable creature. We serve the Lord, the Creator, the one who loves us. And what do we do? Well, I don't know. Yeah. If people are evil, are willing to serve their master like this, what about us? We who proclaim the Lord, we who are baptized into Jesus, are we willing to serve him? He said to us, to his apostles, you call me Lord and Master, and so I am. Is he for you? Is he Lord in your life? That's what it all comes down to. He is God, we all know that. But is that just at an arm's distance? Is that just something that we can acknowledge in our head? Yeah, he's the second person of the Trinity. That's nice. Or is he the Lord of my life? Do I have a relationship with him? Do I know him or do I know about him? It's again important to know the things about the Lord. We need to know what the truth is. But we need to know the person. And we can only know the person if we're spending time with him, if we're praying, if we're growing in love with the Lord. That's what he's looking for from each one of us. So again, as we look at this, we look at what St. Paul learned, because this is so important in our society. We tap dance all around everything. We'll try to speak the truth, but we won't mention Jesus because, you know, people might get upset or this isn't politically correct. No. Jesus needs to be number one. He is God, and there are no apologies for that. And there shouldn't be any apologies for him in our lives. He is our Lord. He is our God. He is the one we serve. So that's what we have to be about. St. Paul learned that lesson the hard way, preached a really eloquent sermon, and never mentioned the name of the Lord. And he vowed at that point he would never do that again. So he would only speak when he went to the various places on his mission trips. He would only speak of Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what he's telling the Corinthians. That's what he's telling us. He passed on what is of first importance, that Jesus Christ became one of us. He died for us. He was buried. He rose from the dead so that our sins could be forgiven, that we can be saved, and we can have eternal life.